Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, November 16th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Area oil output expected to set record. U.S. report says Permian supplies will reach 4.95 million a day in December. By Sheila Tobin, Bloomberg. Oil output in the Permian Basin is projected to hit a record as the largest U.S. shale patch leads the recovery in domestic production from its COVID-19-induced slump. Supplies from the prolific oil field of West Texas and New Mexico are set to increase to 4.5 million barrels a day in December, according to a U.S. government report Monday. That surpasses the record set in March 2020, right before the pandemic wrecked widespread demand destruction globally, triggering production shutdowns and bankruptcies across the U.S. Crude supplies from the basin now exceed that of each OPEC member except Saudi Arabia, underscoring the Permian's ascendancy to its role as a globally important swing producer. Its bounce back has been driven by low break-even costs, and the largest U.S. drillers are almost exclusively focusing their limited domestic plans for expansion on the sprawling oil patch, at the expense of other shale basins. Total U.S. output is still a long way off from a full recovery. One reason drillers aren't incentivized to boost output in other basins is because most market observers estimate that the global oil market will become oversupplied next year. Last week, the Energy Information Administration projected that global oil supply is set to average 101.42 million barrels a day in 2022, while worldwide demand is seen at 100.88 million barrels a day. Still, record Permian output won't be enough to significantly reduce oil prices in the near future, as long as overall demand continues to outpace supply. Production in the Bakken in North Dakota and the Eagle Ford in South Texas are still down from pre-pandemic levels. Output in other shale regions is set to rise modestly, with gains ranging 2,000 to 5,000 barrels a day, the agency said. The backlog of oil wells that have already been drilled and are waiting to be fracked, known as DUCs, have sunk to the lowest volume since 2014, the agency said in its drilling productivity report. This article is entitled, Donnelly Declares Run for Re-Election. Precinct 2 Commissioner Notes Transportation as Major County Issue. By Caitlin Randall. Longtime Midland County Commissioner for Precinct 2, Robin Donnelly, has announced he will be running for re-election in 2022. Donnelly, whose first term began in 2007, said in a statement that transportation will remain one of the major issues he focuses on. He is a board member of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance and a member of the Policy Board of the Permian Basin Planning Organization. With the coming construction of I-20, the problems associated therewith will benefit from my experience in dealing with the Texas Department of Transportation, he said in the statement. Donnelly said he wants to continue to serve as Precinct 2 Commissioner so he can advocate for economic development and a drainage study in the county, funded by a grant from the Texas Water Development Board. Areas of the county within floodplains have experienced severe flooding over the past year. In the statement, Donnelly said the near completion of Loop 250 East and the reconstruction of Elkins Road have been highlights for his term. He also noted that he was instrumental in the creation of a South Loop and road projects done in partnership with the City of Midland, like County Road 60 and Briarwood Avenue. Besides transportation, Donnelly said he wants to focus on bringing and extending water to areas of the county that need water. A priority is to fully develop the Rourke water field to have a county-owned water source for the citizens of Midland County, he said. This article is entitled, Midlander to Run for State Education Board. Kinsey said schools require new leadership to help students overcome COVID setbacks. By Stuart Doreen. A former military man wants to give Midland representation on the State Board of Education. Aaron Kinsey told the Reporter-Telegram on Monday that he plans to file for the Republican nomination for the board, which sets policies and standards for Texas public schools. The primary responsibility of the SBOE includes setting curriculum standards, reviewing and adopting instructional materials, and establishing graduation requirements. There are 15 seats on the state board. The District 15 state currently includes an area of Texas from Midland-Odessa to the Panhandle, including Midland, Ector, Lubbock, Randall, Ector, Tom Green, and Taylor counties. That includes the largest metropolitan areas in the region. The current representative is Jay Johnson of Pampa. It's time for younger folks to step up, said the 39-year-old Kinsey. Kinsey believes that an unprecedented time in our state and country requires new leadership from those ready to deal with the impact COVID has had on the education system. Students have missed up to 6% of their lifetime learning, Kinsey said. We have to come up with innovative ways to get kids caught up. Those ways include setting up incentives to create opportunities for the marketplace to help school districts meet their needs. He also said Texas is shaping up to be a, quote, big battleground for a cultural tug of war, unquote. Kinsey said he is the person to stand up for an ideals fight. I believe critical race theory is a form of Marxism, is tearing us apart, and has no place in our schools, Kinsey offered on his campaign website. It's no longer allowed to be taught, but we must remain vigilant for the reintroduction via rebranding or outright defiance. The SBOE is responsible for the curriculum of over 5 million school children, over 10% of the children in the entire country. Naturally, the SBOE is the next place to stand up and push back against what we are seeing. Kinsey is CEO of American Patrols, an aerial patrol company with a 19-plane operation that assists energy companies in minimizing liquid and gas emissions. He also served 9 years as an Air Force pilot, flying 120 C-130 combat missions in the Middle East and managing T-1 pilot training programs. After leaving active duty, Aaron attended Harvard Business School, where he led the Republican and Free Enterprise Clubs and ultimately obtained his MBA. He said his education makes him a perfect representative to help oversee the Permanent Education Fund, another primary responsibility of the board. The Permanent Education Fund has $47.6 billion in assets and needs proper board oversight from people who understand finance and financial markets, Kinsey said. Kinsey is a father of three and has lived in Midland for around 3 years. This article is entitled Show of Support Banquet to Honor Military Families from Staff Reports. Show of Support will have its 17th annual Hunt for Heroes banquet on Tuesday at the Bush Convention Center with guest speaker Sergeant First Class retired Gregory Allen Stube. The event will honor 18 military couples from across the United States. On Wednesday, the men leave for a hunting trip and their wives spend 3 days being pampered in Midland. Here is a list of the military men being honored. Information is provided by Show of Support. Angel Alvarez, Army, Sergeant Major. Jason Engel, Army, Sergeant First Class. Chad Artemovich, USMC, Army, Specialist. Joe Constantum, Army, Sergeant. Vincent DeFabrizio, USMC, Staff Sergeant. Christopher Dungan, Army, Specialist. Robert Fontenot, Army First Sergeant. Michael Gray, USMC Sergeant. Darren Gronowski, Army Specialist. John Caterberg, Army Sergeant. Joe Morajon, Army Staff Sergeant. Brian Morneau, Army Command Sergeant Major. Antonio Romano II, USMC Master Sergeant. Jeremy Schuch, USMC Chief Warrant Officer 2. Roma Sina, USMC Sergeant. Travis Stauffer, Army Sergeant First Class. Guillermo Tejada, USMC Gunnery Sergeant. Emmanuel Valdez Jr., Army Command Sergeant Major. This article is entitled "Local Democrat Leaders Thrilled Over O'Rourke's Announcement" by Caitlin Randall. Local Democratic leaders said Monday they were thrilled after former U.S. Representative Beto O'Rourke announced he would be running for governor of Texas. In a video announcement, O'Rourke, who narrowly lost to Senator Ted Cruz in 2018 and ran for president in 2020, criticized the extremist and divisive policies of Governor Greg Abbott and Republican leaders. "I want a leader who will protect Texans from power grid failures and pandemics, not a leader who claims to protect us from an imaginary threat he perceives immigrants pose to our country," said Midland County Democratic Chair Kathy Broderick. "I want a leader who believes in equality for all Texans." Democrats now have the candidate they deserve, and Texas will get a governor who will listen to them and represent everyone, she said. Hannah Horick, Ector County Democratic Chair and President of Texas Youth Democrats, said she was also excited to have a strong Democratic candidate enter the race. Beto's race for Senate in 2018 showcased the importance of every Texas voter, not those just in big cities. And his work pushed Democratic candidates at every level to focus on communities like ours here in the Permian Basin, she said. Horick volunteered for O'Rourke's campaign in 2018 and said she was looking forward to seeing how Midland and Odessa will be incorporated into his upcoming campaign strategy. "Beto never stopped advocating for Texans after the Senate race, and I believe his care for the people of this state over special interests or political donors will set him apart in the race to beat Greg Abbott in 2022, she said. Local GOP leaders had not commented publicly on O'Rourke's announcement as of Monday afternoon. But Abbott posted multiple tweets on Monday criticizing O'Rourke. In one post, Abbott shared a video with the words "Wrong for Texas" overlaid on a black and white photo of O'Rourke. Another post said "Bring it," following a list of items O'Rourke will allegedly do, including defunding police, killing oil and gas jobs, and taking away guns. O'Rourke last visited Midland in June to speak about his support of federal voting rights measures. He does not yet have any campaign stops scheduled for the Midland-Odessa area. This article is entitled "Planning and Zoning: Commission OKs Self-Storage Facility" by Mella McEwen. Despite a recommendation from city staff to deny the request, the Planning and Zoning Commission Monday approved plans for a self-storage facility at South Loop 250 and Graceland Drive. Commissioners unanimously approved the request by Mahendra Patel for a zone change from O2, Office District, to C, Commercial District, on 28 lots and a portion of a 29th lot, including a vacated alley and previously vacated portion of Blue Haven Court right-of-way. City staff had objected, noting that the vacant property had previously been zoned for single-family development and then rezoned twice, most recently to O2, to develop a church. Staff feared rezoning the property to commercial would allow for any commercial activity. Staff also considered the request spot zoning. Andrew Mellon, managing partner with Maverick Engineering, representing Patel, defended the request, saying there was already spot zoning in the area. He said the feeling was developing a self-storage facility would be a good buffer between residences and commercial development and heavy traffic along the loop. He told commissioners the facility would be gated and comprised only of indoor storage units, and that the design would fit in with the area. Commissioners approved the request with the condition that it conform to the regulations of the commercial district. Commissioners also unanimously approved a request by Schumann Engineering for a zone change from HI, Heavy Industrial District, to SF3, Single Family Dwelling District, in order to construct single family residences at 603 and 605 North Madison Street. In other news, a new Wendy's restaurant is headed to Northeast Midland. Members of the Planning and Zoning Commission Monday unanimously approved a preliminary plat of Pavilion Park, being a replat of Lot 1B on the east side of North Big Spring, south of East Mockingbird Lane. Lance Armour made the request to replat the lot to develop Lot 1C as a Wendy's restaurant. It will be the Tall City's fourth Wendy's location. A third is under construction on South Rankin Highway North and west of the Southside Walmart. There are also Wendy's locations on Andrews Highway and on the Loop 250 access road in front of the Northside Walmart. This article is entitled Filing Period Begins for County Elections by Caitlin Randall. The filing period for Midland County elections kicked off Monday. So far, only one race on the ballot has more than one candidate. John Smoot filed on Monday to challenge incumbent Terry Johnson for Midland County Judge. Johnson did not file Monday, but has announced his intent to run for re-election. The seats on the ballot are Precinct 2 and 4 commissioner seats, county judge, and several district judge and justice of the peace seats. The filing period will end on December 13th. Those who filed on Monday were Robin Donnelly, Precinct 2 Commissioner, Randy Prude, Precinct 4 Commissioner, Jonna Smoot, County Judge, Jeff Robnett, 441st District Court Judge, Leah Robertson, 385th District Court Judge, David Lindemood, 318th District Court Judge, Elizabeth Leonard, 238th District Court Judge, Marvin Moore, County Court at Law, 2, Judge, David Kobos, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 2, John Barton, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 4, Edie Subia, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 1, Allison Haley, County Clerk. This is the community state from the front page. This article is entitled Senior Life Midland Starts Holiday Drive by J.C. Lewis. Senior Life Midland is kicking off the Warming Tree Project to bring a little holiday cheer to homebound elderly of Meals on Wheels. The nonprofit is collecting warming items such as socks, scarf, slippers, gift cards, blankets, and toiletry items to share with Meals on Wheels seniors during the holidays. Donations will be collected from now until December 10th. Bring a new donation to 3301 Sinclair Avenue. Online donations are also accepted. To organize a warming tree drive with friends, companies, churches, or community organizations, contact Tracy or Kathleen at Senior Life Midland at 432-689-6633. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled Russia Joins Cartel in Dismissing U.S. Oil Output Request by Yusuf Gamal Eldin, Dina Krenikova, and Olga Tanas. Bloomberg. Russia says there is no shortage of oil in the global market, and there may even be a surplus from early next year, adding to the chorus of other OPEC Plus members to push back against calls from the U.S. to raise output faster. Inventories have stopped drawing, which shows there is no deficit at the moment, Russia's Deputy Energy Minister Pavel Sorokin told Bloomberg TV on Monday in an interview on the sidelines of the ADIPEC oil and gas conference. The comments from Russia's deputy energy minister echo rhetoric from other key OPEC Plus members, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, that indicate the alliance is in no rush to respond to calls from the White House to unleash crude supply faster. President Joe Biden, concerned by seven-year high gasoline prices and waning popularity at home, has called on the 23-nation group to supply more crude and bring pump prices down. President Biden is due to meet virtually with China's President Xi, the world's largest oil importer, later on Monday. Everybody is predicting a surplus of supply starting from the first or second quarter. It's just a matter of timing by a few months, Sorokin said. We pretty much see the same picture. Benchmark Brent crude prices have risen almost 60% this year as global consumption recovers from its pandemic-driven lull and OPEC Plus continued its modest pace of production increases. At its latest meeting in early November, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies agreed to continue only gradual planned production ramp-ups, adding another 400,000 barrels a day to combined output in December. However, a number of OPEC Plus nations, including Nigeria and Angola, are struggling to meet their quotas due to underinvestment in their upstream sectors. Russia will be able to ramp up its oil output to pre-pandemic levels of about 11.32 million barrels a day as soon as the OPEC Plus deal and the market's needs allow, Sorokin said. This is the opinion page. This column is called Opinion Extra. It is entitled Focus on Real Election Issues, Not Rumors, by Stuart Doreen, MRT editor. I am not running for county judge. The fact that I even have to address this made-up rumor tells you what's wrong with our politics today. Not once, but twice on Saturday night, I received text messages from people I respect saying they heard that rumor at an event they were attending. It was not the first time someone asked if I was going to run for the seat. It has been categorically false every time someone has asked me about it. I have never considered a bid for public office. The rumor is being floated out there by people setting up their own campaigns. They want to use my alleged political ambitions as a reason to rally their troops. It is no different than when one of Midland's politically connected told me during the last mayor's race that he heard that a major candidate was dropping out. There was no truth to it, just that person's way of mudding up the political waters to suit his agenda. Even if I wanted to run, which I don't and never have, there is one reason above all others that I could not run for county judge in 2022. I like my being paid to work. If tomorrow anyone in the newspaper business decided to run for public office, that person would have to quit his or her job before filing for office. We cannot put this company in the position of appearing to be in a conflict of interest. Unless you hear I won the lottery, you can bet any rumor that I am running for public office, any office, is being started by someone with their own agenda. There are numerous other reasons that aren't worth addressing in this space. What I will say is that our community, going into 2022, needs less people trying to muddy up the water to benefit their own candidate, and more people leading the community in a positive direction. Good candidates show us a vision of a better Midland. Bad candidates try to fracture or mislead an electorate. We saw in the most recent city council at-large race that a candidate can't dominate a field with a positive, upbeat election. Sadly, not everyone will follow the lead of Robin Poole during the races of 2022. It takes too much time to knock on doors, respond to emails, and make yourself available to voters wanting to ask a question. It takes too much effort to defend your record, especially when that record raises questions about what you didn't do and what went wrong. When you have that person that doesn't want to put in the work, you will see them scare others by floating the names of people they have heard were going to run. You will see them deflect attention from themselves with matters they have nothing to do with what is taking place in our community. You will see them make the campaign about anything but themselves. When that happens, take notice, and if there is a worthy opponent, give them a look. This is the local state obituaries page. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, November 16th. Lydia Lily Rodriguez. Lily Rodriguez, age 87, left us on November 11, 2021 to go home to join all her loved ones with God in heaven. Lily was born to Casimiro and Domitila Gonzalez on August 3, 1934. Lily is preceded in death by her parents, by two loving husbands, Leo Martinez and Isidro Rodriguez, and one daughter, Olga Enriquez. Lily, a cancer survivor, leaves behind a large and loving family. Her sons, James Martinez, wife Diana, and Severo Enriquez, three granddaughters, sister Beatrice Chavez, numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. Funeral services are being handled by Ellis Funeral Home. Visitation will be Tuesday, November 16th from 4 to 9 p.m. with rosary at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be Wednesday, November 17th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church at 1 p.m. with burial to follow at 1 p.m. at Monahan's Memorial Cemetery, 400 South Helen Street. Death notices. Francisca Carrillo. Francisca Carrillo of Midland passed away on Friday, November 12th. A viewing will be held Monday, November 15th from 5 to 9 p.m., Tuesday, November 16th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Wednesday, November 17th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., all at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home, 405 North Terrell Street. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening at the funeral home. Funeral Mass is set for Thursday, November 18th at 2 p.m. at San Miguel Arcangel Catholic Church. She is survived by her husband, Gilberto C. Carrillo, five sons, Erasmo Carrillo, Juan Carrillo, Emerado Carrillo, Antonio Carrillo, and Mario Carrillo. Four daughters, Leslie Borrego, Alma Robinson, Francisca Carrillo, and Bertha Tarango. 36 grandchildren, 42 great-grandchildren, and 20 great-great-grandchildren.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. Remote learning resolution on agenda. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will consider a resolution on remote learning during their regular 6 p.m. meeting today. The gathering will be in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Supplemental agenda material said under Senate Bill 15, districts may receive full funding for local remote learning delivered via synchronous instruction, asynchronous instruction, or a combination for grades kindergarten through 12. The board is being asked to adopt a resolution to provide a remote learning program under SB 15 with the following provisions. A combination of remote, synchronous, and asynchronous instruction with daily attendance for synchronous instruction taken at 9:30 a.m. and or attendance for asynchronous instruction determined through a daily attendance measure as described in the district's asynchronous instructional plan, the material said. On a separate item, board member Chris Stanley is seeking approval from the board for the NSBA 2022 annual conference session presentation, Embracing Hutagogy, to equip students for the innovation of the future today. The presentation will show how students in a West Texas school district are using advanced virtual reality, machine learning, and artificial intelligence to solve complex questions, including how the brain works, the material said. The Schoology website said, "Pedagogy, otherwise known as self-determined learning, is a student-centered instructional strategy that emphasizes the development of autonomy, capacity, and capability." On another item, the board will discuss the request approval of reappointment of School Health Advisory Council members. Under special recognitions, the board will recognize United Way of Odessa 2021 top fundraisers, the W.D. Noel Adult Volunteer of the Year, ECISD nurses named to Permian Basin Great 25 nurses, and National Fossil Day 2021 art contest winners. ED Foundation Boost Teaching Program. The Education Foundation provided an infusion of more than $44,000 toward the Ector County ISD's effort to grow its own teachers Monday. About 20 of the 34 students working toward becoming teachers joined in the presentation of an oversized check for $44,276.06 at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa. Also on hand were officials from Odessa College and the University of Texas Permian Basin. The funds will be used to pay for dual credit tuition through Odessa College and University of Texas Permian Basin, a news release said. After students graduate from ECISD, they can go to Odessa College and UTPB or go straight to UTPB for their teaching bachelor's degree in education. ECISD Executive Director of Career and Technical Education, Carla Byrne, said, "There are 34 students in the Future Teachers of Odessa program currently." Byrne said students had a chance to earn up to 78 semester credit hours toward a bachelor's degree in education. Byrne said teacher Cheryl Cunningham holds the program together. She has been a Teacher of the Year and a Regional Teacher of the Year in the past. She is a light. She is the hands and feet of God, and she shines His light daily. She is just an amazing individual that I cannot be more moved to go and see her work every day with these kids," Byrne said. Several of the students spoke about their desire to become teachers and where they were doing their lab hours. Suzette Medina, a senior at Odessa High School and president of the Future Teachers class, said she has about 16 college credits and her goal is to have 36 by the end of the year. "I want to teach because you just motivate your students," Medina said. She added that she is doing her lab experience at Zavala Elementary School and wants to give her students good experiences and the drive to do better. "One of my favorite memories that I will bring back to my classroom is my physics teacher. Last year, she did everything to make sure that every single person in her classroom understood what was happening. She would be at school early in the mornings, go home late at night, just to be sure that we knew what was happening, and it was just a very great push and motivation to do better. She made us feel safe and comfortable," Medina said. Joe Tavares, a junior at OHS, is the Future Teachers Vice President. "The reason I want to teach is that I've seen that impact that all my teachers around me throughout the years and the way that they've shaped me to become the person that I am today and the student that I am today. Without some of them, I might not be here in this class, or I might not have realized that this is what I have a passion for and what I want to do," Tavares said. He added that he is interested in teaching English or science at the high school level, but that could change. Tavares also is doing his lab hours at Zavala. Miracle Schafter, a Permian High School sophomore, is Future Teachers of Odessa treasurer and doing her lab hours at Ireland Elementary. "I love these kids. They make my day every day that I go to their classroom, and one experience that I would take to my classroom would be to treat them as equals and individually as much as I can," Schafter said. Evelyn Loya, a junior at PHS, secretary of the class, is doing her lab hours at Ireland. Loya said she has wanted to be a teacher since she was a child. One experience and memory I have that I'm going to take to my classroom is when I was with my group students doing my lab hours, and I asked them how they felt today. They felt very loved and important, Loya said. Odessa College Executive Dean of Academic Partnerships, Jonathan Fuentes, said they are thrilled to have their partnership with ECISD and UTPB. Fuentes said, "Teachers are needed in ECISD and throughout the Permian Basin. You're doing incredible work. Keep it up, and we look forward to the success you're going to have in the classroom. We need you," Fuentes said. Council to hear fire station construction update. Odessa Fire Rescue Chief John Alvarez is scheduled to speak to the Odessa City Council about an update on fire station numbers 6 and 9. The update will happen at 3 p.m. today on the fifth floor of City Hall in the City Council Chambers located at 411 West 8th Street. The groundbreaking for fire station number 9 began on April 15th. As a previous Odessa American article detailed, the state-of-the-art facility would cost nearly $6 million, with it being funded with 2019 Certificates of Obligation bond dollars. On August 16th, a groundbreaking ceremony was held for Fire Station No. 6 at the southwest corner of Pembroke Street and Grandview Avenue. City Manager Michael Marrero will speak about the consideration of having one city council meeting for the month of December, as the second meeting would occur during the holiday week. Odessa Traffic Operations Superintendent Hal Feldman is set to discuss multiple items, including considered changes to modify Section 12-2-5, One-Way Streets and Alleys, of the City Code 4, consider approval of a PSA with Newton Engineering, PC, for designs of 31st Street and Tanglewood Lane, roadway reconstructions, and consider approval of a PSA with Landgraf, Krutcher & Associates for design and Crane Avenue reconstruction. The changes to modify Section 12-2-5, One-Way Streets and Alleys, of the City Code 4 would be concerning the alley east of Tom Green Avenue on the north side of University Boulevard. There is a distance issue for southbound drivers in the alley attempting to enter University Boulevard. It is proposed to make this a one-way northbound alley to eliminate this traffic condition. For the consideration of approval of the 31st Street and Tanglewood Lane roadway reconstructions and the Crane Avenue reconstruction, their work would be for reconstructing the existing pavement, replace broken curb, install concrete alley approaches, and install concrete valley gutters for proper drainage. City of Odessa Assistant City Manager Philip Urrutia is scheduled to speak about considering purchase of 3 side-load refuge trucks for solid waste and consider purchase of 2 automated side-load refuge trucks for solid waste. The price for the 3 side-load refuge trucks for solid waste is set at $836,019, which would include a Houston-Galveston area council purchase fee. The price for the 2 automated sideload refuge trucks would be $762,914, according to the agenda provided by the City of Odessa. The last automated truck added to the fleet was in 2020. Date set for Odessa American and City Legal Showdown. The continuing legal battle between the Odessa American and the City of Odessa has a hearing set for June 31, 2022 to settle the almost 2-year-old dispute over open records. A hearing on Monday ended with visiting Judge Rodney Satterwhite of the 161st State District Court in Odessa setting the January hearing, where he will decide the lawsuit based on the law, which is what attorneys for the OA have argued should happen all along. City attorneys had previously sought a ruling that the matter should be handled in Austin, But the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals denied that motion, sending the matter back to Ector County. The legal battle brought by the newspaper alleges the city has violated the Texas Freedom of Information Act by delaying and/or redacting police reports and probable cause affidavits, documents considered public information readily accessible to any member of the public. In August, attorneys of the Odessa American and the City of Odessa agreed to spend the next 60 days trying to agree to the facts to be decided by a state district judge in the OA's ongoing open records lawsuit against the municipality without the need for expensive deposition taking or discovery. COVID-19 news by the numbers. COVID in the basin. Ector County, 26,127 total cases, 550 deaths. Midland County, 29,117 total cases, 377 deaths. Texas, 4,283,899 total cases, 72,789 deaths. U.S. cases, 46,993,724 total confirmed and 760,266 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. MCH releases COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital has released its inpatient COVID-19 numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Monday. 26 total COVID patients in-house. Med-surg non-critical, 19 COVID patients. 17 unvaccinated, 1 vaccinated, 1 unknown, includes 1 on pediatrics. Critical care, 7 COVID patients, 3 on ventilator. 5 unvaccinated, 2 vaccinated. Of the 3 COVID patients on ventilator, 3 unvaccinated. Age ranges of COVID patients, 4 months old, 8 to 85 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include 1 from Alpine, 1 from Andrews, 1 from Eunice, New Mexico, 2 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Hobbs, New Mexico, 1 from Hugo, Oklahoma, 1 from Kermit, 1 from Midland. Quick hits, master classes, and performance events. Cassette in the Basin will present Oscar Espina Ruiz, professor of clarinet at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts, through Wednesday. This is Cassette in the Basin's first sponsored residency that is focusing on woodwinds, as well as their first collaboration at Compass Academy in Odessa and Trinity School in Midland. Scheduled events include today, 9:40 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., Compass Academy Choir Room, 5530 Billy Hecht Road, performance of Brahms' E-flat major sonata with pianist Sherry Santarelli, 12:30 p.m. to 1:45 p.m. UTPB Music Department at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 4:15 p.m. Odessa High School Band Hall, 1301 Dotsey Avenue, Masterclass. Wednesday, 8:40 a.m. to 9:20 a.m., Legacy High School, 3500 Neely Avenue, Midland, Sectional. All events are free and open to the public. For more information, visit cassetteinthebasin.net/events. Legislative Luncheon Set. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce will host a legislative update luncheon featuring State Senator Kel Seliger, Republican Amarillo, and Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, at 11:30 a.m. today at the Odessa Country Club, 1 Fairway Park. Visit odessachamber.com. Meet the Cats Evening. Paws Cats Rescue Haven House will present Meet the Cats Evening Bingo Nights today, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at VFW Post 4372 Bingo Hall. 208 East VFW Lane. Doors open at 5 p.m., bingo starts at 7 p.m., and halftime is from 8:30 to 9 p.m. Cookies will be available for a donation. Applications for adoptions and volunteers will be available. All cats are fully vetted with all vaccinations. They will be crated and in an isolated area for those who may have cat allergies. Paws Cat Rescue Haven House is a 501(c)-3 tax exemption organization. All donations are tax deductible. Visit tinyurl.com/MHFR8DUY. Arts Tale. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Art Tales, Iggy Peck Architect, by Andrea Beatty, for ages 3 to 5 and their grown-ups, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday in the Arts House during inclement weather. Admission is free. Visit noelartmuseum.org. ECRW Meeting. The Ector County Republican Women has scheduled a meeting Wednesday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Meet the Speaker is at 10:30 a.m. with luncheon meeting at 11:30 a.m. Guest speaker will be Lauren Spivak. ECRW welcomes both men and women or anyone running for public office. Reservations are required. For reservations, visit ecrwodessa.com. For more information, call 432-847-7283 or email ecrwodessa@gmail.com. Public Art Dedication. First Space and Credit Union, 7100 East Highway 191, has scheduled a public art dedication, Hadley Cell, at 6 p.m. Wednesday. The Hadley Cell sculpture, designed and crafted by North Carolina artist Jim Hirschfield, consists of a 35-foot vertical column containing five graceful polyhedrons, or cells, extending 8 feet at their widest point. The symbol of five stacked cells emulates a column of wind known as the Hadley Cell, named after George Hadley. For information, call 432-248-8299. Court Reporting Informational Sessions. Texas Court Reporters Association will be offering informational sessions for anyone interested in court reporting from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Thursday and Saturday at Odessa College. Gregory D. Williams Lecture Hall, room number 128, 2714 Robertson Avenue. For more information, call 432-335-6580, 817-300-0206, or 903-675-1806. Town Hall Events. State Representative Brooks Landgraf has scheduled the following upcoming Town Hall events. Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Ward County Event Center, 1525 East Monahans Park, Monahans. December 7th, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Andrews Senior Citizen Center, 310 West Broadway Street, Andrews. December 9th, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Poor Daddy's Barbecue, 123 North Mulberry Street, Kermit. During these events, Landgraf will discuss the 2021 legislative sessions. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/5FJV3C67. Meeting. The Bond Advisory Committee will meet at 6 p.m. Thursday in the Permian High School Cafeteria, 1800 East 42nd Street. Members of the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees may be in attendance and participate in discussion. Book Talk. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled Book Talk for 6 p.m. Thursday. Book Talk is the museum's book club that anyone can join in on as we discuss A Patchwork, A Life Amongst Clothes by Claire Wilcox. Visit noelartmuseum.org. Night of the Playa events. Night of the Playa, three simultaneous events benefiting programs of the I-20 Wildlife Preserve and Jenna Welch Nature Study Center will take place Thursday. Red carpet event, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Basin PBS, 900 Wright Drive. Table sponsorships only. For a table or information, email sandra@i20wp.org. Night of the Playa Gala, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street, Midland. The gala will feature Playa, Land of the Little Lakes, a PBS documentary covering the most important ecological feature in West Texas, and the High Plains Dinner and Dance to follow with Comanche Moon Band. For tickets, nightoftheplaya.com/events. Animal Land and Party, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Centennial Park, Midland, 200 West Wall Street, Midland. There will be food trucks and entertainment for all ages before the premiering of the PBS documentary Playa, Land of Little Lakes on the big screen. Admission is free. Free public parking on South Baird Street and East Texas Avenue, Midland. Reserve your spot in advance at tinyurl.com/3NC25XJH. Visit tinyurl.com/3NM2SCM6. Pre-order Christmas decor. Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market almost here. Pre-order your trees and decor to secure your tree, wreath, garland, and poinsettia when they arrive. Pickup and deliveries will begin at 5 p.m. Friday. Fraser Fir Christmas trees are $100 for 8 to 9 feet and $140 for 11 to 12 feet. Garland is $50 for 30 feet. Poinsettias are $15 each. Wreaths are $36 for 30 inches, $44 for 34 inches, $52 for 40 inches, and $68 for 48 inches. Delivery charge is $25 within 25 miles. For more information or to pre-order, visit tinyurl.com/V5U924FU. Noche Latina Concert. The Odessa College Guitar Ensemble will present Noche Latina at 7 p.m. Thursday at Jack Rogers Auditorium. The ensemble will perform Latin jazz and classical guitar music. Admission is free. Visit tinyurl.com/2FZADMX6. The Pirates of Penzance. The University of the Permian Basin Music Program will present The Pirates of Penzance at 7 p.m. Thursday through Saturday at First United Methodist Church, 415 North Lee Avenue. Admission is free. For more information, call 432-552-3286 or email music@utpb.edu. Annual Art Walk 2001 Art and Music Festival. Porter will present the 28th Annual Art Walk 2021 Art and Music Festival Friday and Saturday in different locations in Alpine. The festival will include free live music, art locations, vendors, and food vendors, art silent auctions, and more. For a complete schedule, locations, or more information, visit artwalkalpine.com. Charity Friday, Holy Redeemer Catholic Church, 2633 Conover Avenue, has scheduled Charity Friday Thanksgiving basket giveaway from 10 a.m. to noon Friday. The community is invited to donate a turkey, ham, or other items for a Thanksgiving dinner meal before Wednesday. Call 432-580-4295 or visit tinyurl.com/4EA3FFTH. Gifty Grinchmas Market. Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland, has scheduled a two-day Gifty Grinchmas Market from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday. There will be a $5 admission fee at the door, but kids 12 and under are free. For more information, call 432-682-1300 or visit tinyurl.com/2EVJB7RS. Beer Bevly and Bingo Event. Rooster's Diner, 615 North Sam Houston Avenue, has scheduled a Beer Bevly and Bingo event from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday. You can win prizes from playing bingo, as well as eat, drink, and shop. For more information, call 432-614-5414. Concert and Christmas Fair. Special guest Matt New will perform in concert, and an old-fashioned Christmas fair will benefit the Jesus House Women's and Children's Center from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday at the Mid-Cities Church, 8500 Highway 191, Midland. There will be food, candy, and a lighted hayride through the neighborhood's Christmas lights, living nativity scene, and pre-decorated Christmas tree available for purchase. The decorated Christmas trees are part of the Community Decorated Christmas Tree Contest. Also available is a silent auction with many unique gifts to place under the tree. For tickets or for information, visit tinyurl.com/ZEZUE5YC or JesusHouseOdessa.com. Odessa Shakespeare Festival. The Odessa Arts, Odessa College, and the Texas Shakespeare Festival will present the return of in-person performances for this year's Odessa Shakespeare Festival through Friday with school performances of As You Like It and Twelfth Night. Public performances, Twelfth Night, will take place at 7 p.m. Friday and As You Like It at 7 p.m. Saturday. Tickets are $10 adults and $5 for students and educators. Odessa College faculty, staff, and students are free for public performances with ID. Visit tinyurl.com/4WFUHUT9. Production, the Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley Midland, has scheduled Peter and the Star Catchers at 7 p.m. Fridays and 2 p.m. Saturdays through December 11th. For tickets or information, visit www.mctmidland.org. Performance, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 Midland, has scheduled a Clint Black and Lisa Hartman Black performance event at 8 p.m. Friday. For tickets or more information, call 432-552-4452. Email information at wagnernoel.com or visit tinyurl.com/2ZKETJ24. Donation Drive. First Basin Credit Union has scheduled Shining Star Donation Drive, benefiting High Sky Children's Ranch through Friday. Visit an FBCU branch in Odessa, Midland, or Andrews to make a donation and help make Christmas wishes come true. Account number 80001-02. All monies raised and donated by First Basin will be presented to High Sky to purchase Christmas gifts for children of all ages up to 17 years old. Gifts purchased range from necessities such as blankets, winter coats, clothing, and shoes, to fun wish list items such as dolls, toy cars, and bicycles. FBCU locations are 2740 County Road West, 4217 Grandview Avenue, 713 Golder Avenue, and 7100 East Highway 191, all in Odessa, 3316 North Midland Drive in Midland, and 1205 Northeast 1st Street in Andrews. Visit firstbasin.com. Pre-order Christmas decor. Christmas Spectacular. Music City Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street, has scheduled a Christmas Spectacular starting at 9 a.m. Saturday. Santa lands via helicopter at 9:30 a.m. in the north parking lot. The live skate show featuring LA Roller Girls will take place at 11 a.m. and skate workshop is at 5 p.m. There will also be cookies and cocoa, characters, balloon animals, music, bounce houses, and more. The event is free. For more information, visit musiccitymall.net. Turkey Trot. Odessa College has scheduled a turkey trot from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday at OC Wrangler Trails, located behind Salisbury Campus Center. The event is a come-and-go free event. The first 100 people to donate food or toiletries to the Wrangler Food Pantry gets a free long-sleeve turkey trot t-shirt. Donations collected during the event. Enter to win a $500 HEB gift card from the 2021 30 for 30 Fitness Challenge when you come do at least 30 minutes of physical activity on the Wrangler Trails. Also on-site fitness classes and tabletop arm bikes available. 1. Time your activity completed at the Wrangler Trails during the event on your personal health tracker device. 2. Show your time to enter to win. Complete the Wrangler Trails Fitness Challenge and you could win a Yeti cooler. 1. Try out all 4 new pieces of outdoor fitness equipment located around the Wrangler Trail. 2. Collect all 4 stickers, one of each, on your challenge punch card. 3. Turn in your punch card to enter to win. In addition, there will be free fitness classes, kids' games, and yard games to join in the OC Amphitheater. For more information, call OC Sports Center at 432-335-6348. Email sportscenter@odessa.edu or visit tinyurl.com/3ANBKHPR. Gun and Blade Show. The Silver Spur Gun and Blade Show has been scheduled for 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Tickets are $7 adult, sold at the door, cash only. Children 12 and under are free. $1 off NRA/TSRA or military with ID. All law enforcement are free with their badges. Visit SilverSpursGunShow.com. Tejano Super Show and Concert. The 50th anniversary Tejano Super Show and Concert will take place from Saturday 21st at the Ector County Coliseum, 2401 Andrews Highway. Doors open at 1 p.m. Saturday and 11 p.m. Sunday. There will be a meet and greet with Magic Victor Rivers from Blood In, Blood Out, Mask of Zorro, La Onda, and more. Get an autograph, selfie, or purchase merchandise with Boogie Man. Call 210-504-0579. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/YHV6BV35. Survivors of Suicide Loss Day. Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane, has scheduled International Survivors of Suicide Loss Day event for survivors of suicide loss from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Lunch will be provided. For more information, call Amanda Province at 432-260-3373. Email amandaprovince@gmail.com or visit isosld.afsp.org/Odessa-Texas. Cars and Coffee Night. Cars, Coffee, and Christ has scheduled Cars and Coffee Night from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday at 43240 Preston Smith Road. Visit tinyurl.com/AUTDBB9C. Commissioners to canvass. The Ector County Commissioners Court will meet in special session at 9 a.m. today to canvass vote totals for the general constitutional amendment election held November 2nd. The meeting will be in the Commissioners Courtroom in Room 120 of the Ector County Administration Building Annex, 1010 East 8th Street.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.